And welcome into a Christmas weekend edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. This is very Packers-centric, a little bit truncated for the holiday weekend. Of course, some big wins by the Wisconsin Badgers on the basketball court. They've got their bowl game in football coming up this week. We'll get to all of that. The Bucks with a big win despite Giannis's poor shooting performance on Christmas Day as well. We'll talk a lot of Bucks basketball coming up on the podcast. But the Packers have two games left in the regular season. Obviously, they've already clinched their division. They still have the Chicago Bears after this weekend's game against the Tennessee Titans. And as we said earlier this week, it's that Bears game that's more important than the Titans game. Still, this Tennessee Titans matchup will give the Packers maybe kind of a litmus test as to where they are right now, because they've beaten a lot of bad teams en route to their 11-3 record right now. Coming into this game, Tennessee sits at 10-4, and they're playing for their playoff lives. They're in pretty good shape, but they haven't necessarily clinched anything yet. Still, the big storyline in this ball game for the Packers is going to be how to stop Derrick Henry. I went into that and some other items when I spoke with CBS 58 sports director Kevin Holden on my national show that I hosted. So we may go into some things and you may wonder why I'm couching certain questions in the way that I did. Again, this was for a national audience that isn't as familiar with the Packers as you are, as I am, certainly as Kevin is. He was the expert that I wanted on my show, and it's always fun to catch up with Kevin as well. So this was from my Christmas Day show that I hosted on Sports Map Radio with CBS 58's Kevin Holden. Coming up Sunday night in primetime, it's AFC versus NFC, maybe a Super Bowl preview. Anything's possible, I suppose. Sunday night, the 11-3 Packers, the top seed in the NFC, play host to the 10-4 Tennessee Titans. They haven't clinched anything yet, but again, are 10-4 and are on the brink of the number 4 seed in the AFC playoffs. Joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line on Sports Map Radio, he covers the Packers every day for Milwaukee's CBS affiliate WDJT-TV. We welcome in sports director Kevin Holden. Kevin, I appreciate the time. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, Doug. This is a fantastic time of year, and for everything that we've gone through in 2020, and I mean, this is everybody when I say we, it's kind of nice to be sitting here talking about football and making it feel at least a little bit normal. If fans can't go to games, at least they can talk about them because they exist. And that I'm pretty thankful for that right now.
As far as the team, the Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur narrative from about 18 months ago was, how are these guys going to get along? You look at it a year and a half later, and it almost seems as though these guys have always been together. They just seem like, from the outside looking in, that they're just in lockstep with one another, the play caller and the Hall of Fame quarterback, who, oh, by the way, might be the leading candidate for the MVP award this season. How has that relationship evolved and developed to the point where it is right now, from your observation?
It's been actually a wonderful thing for the franchise, for the fans, for quarterback, for coach, for everybody involved. When someone new comes in, there's always going to be that feeling out process. There's going to be the initial sort of bumping of heads over certain things, you know, small things that happen on certain plays or play calls or that sort of thing. And you remember there were one or two times early in LaFleur's first year in 2019 where there was a little jawing. It was just a sentence or so exchanged between Rodgers and LaFleur on the sideline. And we had been so accustomed to that tension of the end of the Mike McCarthy era that if Rodgers said anything to a head coach, we were like, oh my goodness, Green Bay is going to blow up. Then of course, you know, that calmed rather rapidly. And what's happened, I think, is Rodgers has understood that when you talk on the surface about the system that Matt LaFleur wants to employ, the one that was so successful last year in San Francisco, it depends on running the ball well. And initially, that sounds like it takes away from your quarterback. But what turns out, it's taken a little pressure off of Aaron Rodgers. This is a guy that for years was dealing with one of the worst secondaries on his own team in the league. And so Rodgers was having to put everything and everyone on his back, you know, Greg Jennings style from the video game, and lead guys into the playoffs after 4-6 starts. I think he realizes that this system, that what LaFleur has brought in, is just better for him. And again, it's no coincidence. He's an MVP candidate right now. That's really meaningful, and that's going to help. And it says a lot to me, by the way, Doug, that Rodgers feels the way he does, so complimentary of LaFleur, despite the fact that a quarterback got drafted in this year's draft in the first round. That tells you how strong that relationship has become.
How much has that been a narrative, Jordan Love, the Packers trading up to get him out of Utah State in the first round? I thought it was interesting that it was 15 years to the day that Aaron Rodgers was drafted to be the heir apparent to Brett Favre. But you don't hear anything about Jordan Love this year. I remember back 15 years ago when I was doing this show on the same network called Sporting News Radio, where even from a national perspective, not being in Green Bay, not being in Wisconsin at the time, you still heard about Aaron Rodgers. You still heard about the heir apparent. Nobody's talking about Jordan Love right now.
Nobody. And that's crazy to me because in April, in early May, this was the centerpiece of what was going on. There was a thought that, oh my goodness, the Aaron Rodgers era has, it sees an end now. There's an end there. Whenever Jordan Love is ready, he's going to be the guy. And, you know, remember there was a talk for a minute about, you know, would Aaron Rodgers get traded? I mean, this was one wild off season. And as soon as they've gotten down to the business of the campaign, the business of this season, it's gone. And I think that's wonderful because it showed that there was a gamble on the part of Brian Gutekunst, the Packers general manager, and that gamble paid off. Pandemic draft, uncertainty about the season ahead. And I know there were concerns about receivers and the Packers wanting to deepen out that receiving core. I get that part. But the Packers have to make a decision somewhere to draft a quarterback. And they have to draft a good one because we've spent 30 years with Hall of Fame quarterbacks in Green Bay. So they chose this year to do it. And, oh, my goodness, they pulled it off. No one's talking about the future because the present is so bright for this team right now.
From CBS 58 in Milwaukee, sports director Kevin Holden joining us on the Progressive Insurance guest line. You brought up deepening the Packers receiving core. In your opinion, I mean, everybody knows that Davante Adams, one of the elite wide receivers in the NFL, is your number one guy. Who's number two?
Man, that's I would have said without hesitation, Alan Lazard for a long time, but Lazard ran into some injury trouble and he's been up and down. I cannot think of Marquez Valdes-Scantling, MVS. I can't think of him in that particular position because there have been huge plays in important games that have gone really, really badly for MVS. Indianapolis is the one that comes to mind that led to a loss. So can I say Robert Tonyan? I mean, it's a tight end, but honestly, he's become this guy that you, like when the Packers are on the 8-yard line, you kind of expect they might go to Tonyan for the touchdown. Like that's become maybe the second most reliable guy out there when it comes to the passing game. It is proof also that Aaron Rodgers still has this otherworldly special ability to take a group and make them better than they were. And he turned James Jones into an NFL touchdown leader one year. You know, he's done this with guys year after year after year. And what Rodgers has done beyond Davante Adams, you know, leading this team to wins it's incredible. And he deserves the MVP unless something crazy happens the next couple weeks, in my opinion.
Let's talk about Sunday night's game for a moment. The Packers so far this season have only played 3+500 teams, and they lost two of the three games that they've lost this season were to them. Now, the number one game that they did play against a +500 team was against New Orleans, which is important because of the way that the slotting is right now and the way that the season has played out for both of those two teams. That's going to end on Sunday Night Football when the Packers take on the 10-4 Titans. The big question is, do they have the wherewithal to stop Derrick Henry?
Oh, man. It's tough if your defense is a good NFL defense. If your defense is among the top, say, half dozen in the league, you look at Henry and it makes you a little nervous. The Packers have, I think, a passable defense, passable to good. Their secondary is better than it's been in a long time, but that ain't going to stop Derrick Henry. I'm not sure anything is going to stop Derrick Henry. You're talking almost 1,700 yards and 15 touchdowns for this guy with a couple of weeks to go in the season. And, I mean, we're at the point where when the national highlight shows are showing Titans games, they don't even bother with, oh, look, Derrick Henry, you know, had a couple of long runs. They show the plays where he throws another human being to the ground, because that's something he does that a lot of other running backs cannot do. Aaron Jones is not big enough to manhandle a defender the way Derrick Henry is. And it will be an extremely difficult test. By the way, I also think a great test for this moment. The schedule makers help the Packers in a big way, because facing Derrick Henry, dealing with that now, is going to help them come playoff time. These games get a lot tougher, and you know, the tests get tougher. So why not have a guy like Derrick Henry just a few weeks before the playoffs? You can try to stop him. Then you can go back to the tape and see what you did right and what you did wrong. That's a big favor that the league did the Packers right there.
So as long as we're talking about the playoffs, which are upcoming, obviously the Packers have clinched the Central Division. They haven't clinched the number one seed yet. But you stack them up against the Saints, who they've already beaten, as we mentioned a moment ago, but that was very early in the season. Seattle, they're 10-4. The Rams are 9-5, still licking their wounds after losing to the Jets last week. But you've got Tampa Bay, who they've already lost to earlier this season. You've got Arizona in the mix, and they've got an explosive offense and a defense that has kept them in most of their games. When you stack the Packers against the rest of the conference, the way you look at it, how do you rank them? Are they the best team in the NFC?
They, in my mind, what has happened with this team and the path that they've been on lately, when you're talking about momentum, when you're talking about the late season push, they are true to form, true to what the conference standings say, in my mind, the top team in the NFC. The Saints are right there with them. The Saints actually have a better point differential than the Packers do. And they did that with Taysom Hill at quarterback and not Drew Brees for several weeks. They are the closest thing to me as a, you know, a second place team. But the Packers have this combination of Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm not going to call Davante Adams a Hall of Fame receiver yet, but we would not be shocked if that's what his career ends up at. And Aaron Jones, who is playing at a Hall of Fame level as a running back. So you're talking about three skill positions, three players that are among the best in the conference, and defenses have to try to stop all three of them or contain all three of them, plus a defense that has improved over years past. That's good enough this year to be the number one team to me in the NFC. And the interesting thing is, when you talk about the Seahawks, it used to be all about the Seahawks defense. They and the Packers have allowed exactly the same number of points through 14 games. That tells you that, one, it tells you the Seahawks D is not as good as it used to be, but it also tells you that head-to-head, I still feel pretty good about the Packers, even though Russell Wilson is, you know, perpetually going to be tough. I still think the Packers are better than the Saints and better than the Seahawks.
Final thing for you, Kevin. It's been 10 years since the Packers have been to a Super Bowl, 10 years since they won Super Bowl 45 in Arlington against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Since then, they've had their fair share of playoff failures. They've had three more appearances in the NFC Championship game, and they've lost all three. How much of that is a narrative on a day-in and day-out basis when you're doing Packers reports at the end of the season looking forward to the postseason?
Well, I think it's meaningful, because there have been a lot of teams since the Super Bowl 45 winners, there have been a lot of teams that I thought were capable of reaching the Super Bowl that didn't reach the Super Bowl. Going back to facing Kaepernick in back-to-back years and getting eliminated by the 49ers in both those years, the Seattle NFC Championship game, the team that lost in Arizona when Larry Fitzgerald ran wild in the playoffs, the team in the NFC Championship game in Atlanta a couple of years ago. That I think of all of those, at least one more should have made the Super Bowl, and probably two or three. And to me, you reach a point where your eyes tell you this team should reach the Super Bowl, but your memory reminds you that the last time the Packers were in the Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure that the film of that game is black and white. You know, televised pictures from Dallas, Texas, Super Bowl 45. Aaron Rodgers is the bee's knees. It feels that long to me, you know?
I like your old-timey guy. That's nice. that's quality stuff. You don't get that anywhere else. You only get that on SportsMap Radio.
Yes. I try to practice that for you because you got to have something, and that's if we can't have the 2020s, we'll have the 1920s.
Well, absolutely. Well, 2020, it's had its own fair share of challenges. It's been, as I like to say, character building, I think, for all of us, including the Packers, including covering the Packers, which is what Milwaukee CBS affiliate WDJT TV sports director Kevin Holden does so very incredibly well. Kevin, I appreciate you joining us here on Sports Map Radio on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line. And have a great Christmas and, you know, enjoy the plexiglass and the Zoom calls in your car on Sunday night.
Yes. In fact, my family is now going to put plexiglass around me on Christmas. Again, not virus. They're just going to pass, cheesy bread under the plexiglass to me and just let me kind of hang out in there. It's fine. No, I much appreciate it, Doug. Glad we're talking about this, and hopefully we get to keep doing this into January, maybe even into February.
Go Pack, go!
The big story in Titletown this week is pretty singular. Stop Derrick Henry. If you look at the statistics sheet, it's pretty easy to see why. Right now, Henry leads the NFL with 1,679 yards rushing on 321 carries and 15 touchdowns. Dalvin Cook is right behind Henry, but again, Cook has already played this week. Cook with 1,557 yards on 312 carries and 16 touchdowns, now tied with Alvin Kamara after Kamara's monster game on Christmas Day. Still, Kamara hasn't rushed for 1,000 yards yet this season. But the gold standard is the guy who the Packers will try to at least contain tonight.
This is what great backs do. They make people look silly. Certainly, he's been doing that for a couple years now, and he's an elite runner. And we need multiple hats at the ball because he's going to make people miss, or he may stiff arm somebody and make them miss. And you really got to try to do a good job of when he gets the ball outside, you got to squeeze that distance down so he can't have a lot of space to operate in. Because if he gets a lot of space, it's tough sledding.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, his defensive coordinator Mike Pettine, is tasked with a game plan of stopping the consensus best running back in football.
Certainly a challenge. We talk to our guys. I mean, each week, the tape doesn't lie. I mean, this is a special back that's having a career year. So it's a big challenge for us, and our guys are looking forward to it.
Kenny Clark may or may not be looking forward to it. He sees a back that brings every tool in his box come game day.
He's a great back. I think he's like deceptively fast. For him to be so big, he's fast. Does a really good job of like pressing the line of scrimmage, setting up the offensive lineman's blocks so he can cut back or stay front side on the block. And, he's just, strong guy. Just an all-around complete back. You got to just do your job. Do your job. Play physical. Play with a sense of urgency. Swarm to the ball and, get him on the ground. You got to get his feet moving. Don't let him just run through the line of scrimmage and just get rolling. You got to make him cut in the backfield. You got to just disrupt the offensive line, disrupt, everything that's going on. Get him to move his feet in the backfield so guys can swarm to the ball.
But if Kenny Clark and his line mates can't, Henry is into the secondary, where it's Adrian Amos's turn to take a crack at him.
If we win, I'm going to be just as happy regardless of what happened. But it's going to be hard to beat them without holding him from, having a big game. So that's something that we got to go in to try to stop. But the ultimate goal is to win. So we come out with a W, and I'm going to be just as happy regardless.
That all said, the narrative on the Packers in 2020 is that they can't stop the run. But the numbers don't bear that out, despite some stout individual performances against Green Bay earlier in the season when they gave up, for example, 163 yards and 3 scores to Dalvin Cook in their last meeting with the Vikings, and 113 yards and a pair of scores to Tampa Bay's Ronald Jones. Pettine has heard your criticisms, but has the numbers to back up his team's performance.
We made a commitment as a staff, and obviously we feel better about it than at times last year. I mean, that whole offseason, you always remember by your last performance, and we all know what happened. So do we feel good about it? Yeah, at times, but there are other times where we have a ways to go.
Like that one issue that drives fans and coaches batty.
We haven't tackled well enough. I mean, by our standards, we track missed tackles, and some games we've been okay, but typically we've had some that are not up to our standards. So no, it's something that we talk about, that I think our guys do a good job play recognition and getting there, but we got to make sure that we finish the play, that we're not making contact and then allowing three, four, 5 yards afterward or miss.
As for their national television tilt against Derrick Henry and the Titans on Sunday Night Football, the margin of error is pretty slim.
It starts with the technique part of it. It doesn't matter what you're in schematically. I mean, if you can't get off on the ball and win your one-on-one, you know, knock the guy back across from you and, you know, have that sense of timing of get separation from a block and then violently release from it. We know we're going to get blocked. The key is not staying blocked. You think of it as one-dimensional, and it really isn't, because it starts with the run, and then the run opens everything up. I mean, the play pass, you know, just some of the wide open looks they've been able to get, and that's just a credit to how well they run the football. That if you're not locked in and, you know, flying downhill and reacting to these run looks, you know, you're going to get gashed in the run game.
And it's not just by Henry. Kenny Clark sees Ryan Tannehill as a threat to pull it down and gain yards if he gets flushed out of the pocket.
He definitely has some run ability. I mean, he played receiver at college, so he can definitely run. And when he's throwing the ball, you see a lot of time, he's getting out and making plays with his feet. And then like last week, I think it was like a boot, and he took it like 15 to 20 yards and got it to the pylon. So he can move. He definitely can move, and it's something that we got to be aware of.
As for when the Packers have the ball, head coach Matt LaFleur would like to keep it.
I think they're number one in the National Football League right now in turnover differential. So we got to do a great job of taking care of the ball. We know that they're going to be coming for it. They've got a lot of guys that have really good ball skills in the back end. And that's going to be important, that we make sure that we get separation. We're thrown on time, because they can make it pay if you're a little bit late or the ball gets batted, because they got exceptional ball skills.
If you look at the Titans' offensive output this year, they've won by scoring 33, 31, 42, 42 again, 45, 46, 35, and 31 points. They have 55 touchdowns, tied with New Orleans and Green Bay for most in the league. So if the defense struggles, how much pressure now shifts to the offense to match? Wide receiver Davante Adams.
There's a little bit of added pressure as far as just knowing what a team is about. But the way we approach it is to go and try to score and put points on the board every single drive. So obviously you can have a little bit of heightened awareness. But I think that, you know, the way that we play this game, the way the standard we hold ourselves to, we know we got to hold our own and go out there and try to make it easier for the other side of the ball when they're out there. You know, we don't want to put the defense in a position where they have to have a stop literally every single time.
There was one other item this week that was discussed by Coach Matt LaFleur, and it's something that Kevin Holden and I spoke about earlier in the show, the seemingly forgotten man of the largely forgotten storyline of first-round pick Jordan Love, who's been inactive all year long. So how's he progressing?
Yeah, I think he's getting better. There's no question. You know, it's always a tricky deal when you have three quarterbacks on the roster, because especially when Tim's the one that's been dressing, just the balance, how you divvy out those reps throughout practice. I think that's where a lot of progress is being made. And there's no doubt about it. He's got a much better grasp of what we're trying to get done offensively. He's a smart guy that works at it. And, you know, it's unfortunate just what transpired in the preseason without having preseason action for both Jordan and Tim, because you'd love to see him in live action out there and just see how they respond.
Instead, it's been the Aaron Rodgers show, one that may net him a third NFL MVP award, which would tie him with Brett Favre for most all-time by a Packers quarterback. Changing gears, the Packers and the rest of the football world this week is mourning the death of Hall of Famer Kevin Green. Green helped coach the Packers linebacking core to a Super Bowl 45 championship and was in Titletown for 5 seasons under former defensive coordinator Dom Capers. As a player, Green ranks third all-time with 160 sacks over his 15-year career with the Rams, Steelers, Panthers, and 49ers. The 5-time Pro Bowler was inducted into Canton in 2016.
After 15 years of fun in the sun, I walk away happy and healthy for the most part, kicking people's asses with your brothers, entertain some folks, develop some lifelong relationships, and have enough good health to play some football with your son and daughter in the front yard. I am eternally grateful, and I salute you. Thank you.
As I mentioned, it was former Packers defensive coordinator Dom Capers who brought Kevin Green to Titletown in the first place. Capers was also the one who served as the presenter for Green in the class of Canton.
He brought me to the Pittsburgh Steelers and put me in a position to affect games. And then with the Carolina Panthers, he was the head coach there, and he brought me there, and he put me in a position to affect games. And then he brought me to the Green Bay Packers, and he put me in a position to teach others to affect games.
Isn't that something, that Kevin Green was known for his playing career with the Rams, Steelers, Panthers, and 49ers? But what got the loudest applause? His 5 years as an assistant coach with the Green Bay Packers. Now, speaking of the Packers, when Kevin Green was playing against the Green and Gold, he always knew that he had a worthy adversary on the other side of the line in number four.
I always had a good idea pre-snap of what Brett Favre and that offense was going to do. I studied every film in our game plan leading up to Sunday, and I told Brett that he likes to run the bootleg. He likes to run it when the ball is on the offensive left hash. He got a big giggle, and he said, well, I thought you were playing ahead of the ball. I kind of thought that you had, you know, sneaked off playbook at one time or another.
Kevin Green, one of the all-time greats, really enjoyed the time that I got to spend with him when he was on Dom Capers' defensive staff with the Packers. Earned a Super Bowl ring, Super Bowl 45 with the Green Bay Packers as well. That'll do it for this truncated edition, Christmas weekend edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. We will be back this coming week. We've got a Badgers bowl game that we've got to talk about. We've also got the Bucks, who won on Christmas Day against the Golden State Warriors in a blowout fashion despite Giannis's struggles from the floor. The Wisconsin Badgers basketball team, they're playing at an amazing clip right now after their win on the road at the Breslin Center against Michigan State on Christmas Day. We will get to all of that and more. Marquette's basketball season is going on as well, so we are just getting started. Again, Packers taking on the Tennessee Titans Sunday Night Football. We'll have a recap on Monday. Have a great weekend, and I hope you had a Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us here on the Doug Russell Podcast.